وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Laysa al-birra an tuwallu wujuhakum qibala al-mashriq wal-maghrib. ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. Virtue is not that you turn your face towards the east or the west, but virtue is a person believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the scriptures, and the prophets, alayhimu salam, who gives wealth in spite of its love to his relatives, the orphans, the destitute, the travelers, beggars, and to emancipate slaves. He establishes salah, gives zakah. They fulfill their promises when making them, are patient through hardship, adversity, and times of war. These are the ones who have chosen the path of truth, and they are the righteous ones. The discussion of good actions and noble qualities. This verse is one of many referring to a multitude of good actions and noble qualities. In the book Lubabun Nuqul, an extract of Musannaf Abdul Razzaq is quoted, in which Sayyidina Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the Jews used to face towards the west, while the Christians faced towards the east. They considered adherence to their respective qiblas to be everything, refusing to accept Islam. In this regard, the above verse was revealed. Virtue is not that you face towards the east or the west. The same Sayyidina Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that someone once asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to explain true virtue. It was then that this verse was revealed. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then called for the person and recited the verse to him. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi writes in his tafsir that when the Qibla was changed towards the Kaaba Sharif, some Muslims and the people of the book, the Ahl Kitab, found it difficult to accept. Allah explained the wisdom that facing any particular direction is not a prerogative. The most important thing is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever He orders one to face, one should face in that direction. This is, in brief, the meaning of true virtue and fear of Allah. The demand of true belief in Iman is that one acts in accordance to the commands of Allah. Therefore, whether it be towards the east or west, the actual direction is irrelevant to Allah. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains the verse to mean, if a person is contravening all the other laws of Allah, his salah will have little effect. Sayyidina Dhahak rahmatullah alayhi is reported to have made the following comment, virtue and piety mean that one carries out the fara'id and obligatory acts as they should be done. The first of the many actions mentioned in this verse is that of Iman and belief, and certain fundamental beliefs. Belief in Iman is such a thing without which no good act is accepted. The Jews and the Christians refused to believe and would only show importance to their respective qiblas. Allah says, the true virtue is of that person who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, and all of Allah's books and messengers, alayhim salam. The person will be considered a believer and a mu'min who believes in all of these without falsifying even one book or prophet, alayhi salam, nor drawing differences between any of these prophets, alayhi salam. In accordance to one's belief, whatever good actions the believer mu'min does, whatever wealth he will spend or words he will say, will all be considered as virtue and piety. Spending for the pleasure of Allah. After elucidating the fundamental beliefs, Allah outlines the general principles of spending wealth. It is of extreme virtue that a person, in spite of having love for his wealth, spends it on his relatives, the orphans, the needy, the travelers, beggars, and such slaves who had transacted the deal of mukataba with their masters. That is, they secure freedom upon the payment of a stipulated sum of money. This phrase, in spite of its love, may either refer to the love of wealth, or according to others, it refers to the love of Allah. This would mean that they spend because of their love for Allah. However, the first meaning includes the second, because the person who spends it in good causes, in spite of loving his wealth, will only do so because of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best charity. Bukhari Sharif reports that a person asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as to which charity earns the greatest reward. He received the reply, when you spend while you are still healthy, desirous of wealth, fearing poverty, and aspiring for riches. Do not delay so much in spending until your last breath is spending, and then you say, so and so must receive so much, etc. Then your giving will be of no avail, since it already belongs to so and so. Therefore, the best time to spend in charity is when one is healthy, not on one's deathbed. At this time, when one wants to spend, the soul refuses. However, one should suppress it and still spend. The soul also frightens one to think that one will become impoverished and that attaining prosperity will be delayed. It will entice one to delay spending until one is really wealthy. The true believer takes no heed to these threats and spends, bequeathing sums to various people at the end of one's life does not hold the same excellence, since the estate already belongs to the heirs by then. The virtue of spending on one's relatives. The first recipients of one's alms mentioned in this verse should be one's own relatives, dawil qurba. Tirmidhi relates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, giving alms to a poor person wins one the reward of charity, whereas giving the same to a relative will earn double the reward, because it will be charity as well as fostering of family ties. From among the relatives, those who have the greatest right are one's parents and children. The order to treat one's parents well has been mentioned on numerous occasions in the Noble Quran. The virtue of spending on one's wife and children also has great virtue. On account of one's natural instincts, people usually spend on these two groups of relatives. Through His grace and mercy, Allah did not restrict His order to these two groups only, but also included other relatives, be they close or far. The pleasure of Allah is of paramount importance, and giving charity should not be for pomp and glory. A person should not remind the recipient of his charity or favor. He should neither taunt nor tease him. Sayyidina Thoban radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The most superior charity is that dinar," which is a form of currency, which a person spends upon his family, and that which one spends upon his companions in jihad. It's a religious war. Sayyidina Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When a person spends on his family with the intention of gaining reward, this action will be regarded as charity." In another narration, it is reported that the first people to be considered when spending should be one's family. The virtue of spending on orphans. The second recipient of charity mentioned in this verse are the orphans. An orphan is a child who, having not yet reached the age of puberty, loses his or her father. Normally, such a child is in need and should be considered for charity. Besides seeing to their expenses, they should be helped in other ways as well. Tirmidhi Sharif reports that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "The person who places his hand upon the head of an orphan solely for the pleasure of Allah will receive the reward of a good deed in exchange for every single strand of hair that falls beneath his hand." A hadith is recorded in Bukhari Sharif that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Myself and the caretaker of an orphan will be like this in heaven and Jannah." At this point, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined together his index and middle fingers. Nowadays, it is not only commonplace for people not to spend on the orphans, but they actually usurp their wealth. They take away the rightful inheritance of these children, depriving them of their dues. Spending on the poor and destitute. The third category mentioned is that of the destitute, the masakin. These are people who possess absolutely nothing. Many of these people never express their need to anyone, patiently enduring their pain, hunger, and thirst. There is a great reward in spending on these people. Those who are in the habit of begging will get their needs fulfilled through this practice. However, one should be on the lookout for such destitute people who will not beg because of their strong sense of self-honor. Bukhari Sharif reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as having said, "A poor person is not he who goes begging from door to door, for whom one or two morsels of food or dates will suffice. The truly destitute person is the one who can find nothing for himself. None is aware of his condition, so that they give alms to him. Neither is he prepared to beg." Allah says in Surah Balad, "For what reason does he not emerge from the abyss? What will inform you, O listeners, what the abyss is? It is the emancipation of slaves, or the feeding of an orphaned relative, or a dust-covered destitute." These verses explain the freeing of slaves and helping of orphans and destitute persons as a means of emerging from an abyss. This is due to the fact that these things are extremely difficult on the soul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of spending on the poor and the destitute, and spending on the orphans as well, and of course our parents and our relatives as well. آمين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.